Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place where the air related to Amazon FBA product level and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy. And today we bring another special guest. His name is Sheldon Adams, and he's the head of growth at Innovy, where they specialize in everything that has to do with CRO around D2C sites. And I think especially entering into Q4 is going to be more important than ever to understand, you know, what are some of those things that you have to be mindful of, because we all know, especially when you're focusing on growing your D2C, conversion is king. If you're wasting the traffic that we know can be very expensive, especially during Q4, it can significantly impact the revenue and the momentum that your brand can get. So Sheldon, it's a pleasure to bring you to the show today. Hi there.
Hi, I'm doing well, man. Appreciate being on. Always fun to talk through the peak periods like this stuff.
Yeah, I know a lot of things happening all the time, right? Very busy period.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. So I guess for those that might not know you, just give us a brief intro about yourself, the company, and then we can dive into the topic, yeah?
Yeah, so quick and dirty version. I'm Sheldon, head of growth at Innovy. We are a D2C focused conversion rate optimization agency. We worked with triple digit brands at this point to get their generally Shopify stores up and get the most out of them and allow it so that they can more efficiently get users through to purchase, get more revenue from every visitor, and then generally try to like scale that out to other channels, other marketing aspects that they do, just make it a much more profitable place in an increasingly difficult and crowded marketplace.
Awesome. So I think that's the perfect segue to dive straight into the topic, because I mean, being the fact that you guys specialize everything around conversion, I think the first question that I want to bring to the table today is, how do we even know what is affecting conversion? Because we're having this conversation, like, of course, getting ready for Q4 is, there's so many elements, but let's be honest, most people don't even know what part of the experience is affecting the conversion that is really killing essentially the sales they can get out of a consumer. So I guess from the experience and the brands you guys are working with, like, how do you even identify what is affecting that?
It's a million-dollar question. Maybe not so. No, honestly, it is the lifeblood of what we do, and that's like why we operate this way. It is rarely that people have a conversion problem. Like, the site is not getting users to purchase. It's not the whole thing. It is not like end-to-end. The site is broken. They're not getting people through. There are usually pieces of that or steps of that journey that they do quite well at. And our big thing, we call it the intersite funnel, is isolating. Like, okay, if someone gets to view a product but they're not adding it to cart, let's focus there. If, you know, cart and checkout are good enough, we can like push it to the side and trust, like, hey, it's fine, we can address that later. Let's triage and like really, really go deep, so that way we can kind of get some metrics that are not just conversion rate, because that is so broad, it doesn't really tell you anything without other information. But if you can know, like, hey, users are getting the products fine, and once they add it to cart, they're getting through, but we really need to make a better product page, that we can work with. If it's just a whole conversion problem, you're going to end up exhausted and chase 10 different things, and it just doesn't, you can't make traction with it.
Yeah, 100%. And I think from the experience maybe you're seeing with brands, this could also be industry specific, because I'm assuming some of these strategies might shift from if you're working with a product that sells like supplements compared to maybe sport items or electronics. Is there some things maybe high level that people should be also be mindful in terms of what consumers are looking to experience throughout the journey? Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of kind of niche industry specific ones. Like we see this with apparel brands, for instance, where an add to cart is more like you've saved an item versus like actually being a high intent thing. So we'll have apparel brands like, we have 20% of people added to cart, but no one is actually converting. What's wrong? And the what's wrong is that's just a behavior that they're not, that's not as high as of intent as if you are buying supplements or some other physical product. And you just need to like calibrate expectations there. And we try to massage that. But yeah, generally, like it is, we try to develop some baselines that work across everything. But yes, like there's a very real tension between if it's a super high priced product, like, yeah, you're not going to have a crazy add to cart rate. It's going to be lower. We should know that. We should calibrate. Same if it's a $10 product. Yeah, I hope you have a very high add to cart rate or else you're not going to be in business very long. So there's a lot that you can kind of right size expectations pretty quickly on that.
Awesome. And now when it comes to the essentially define the North Star, because I guess when you implement a lot of these things, it could also be quite challenging to identify what success looks like, because I guess different brands are going to have different KPIs. Some people might purely focus on profitability. Some people might focus on retention. Some people on conversion. So how you define what is the right North Star when it comes to working on these optimizations, essentially?
Yeah, that one, it sort of depends on where we are with the brand. If someone, like, say you came to me and you're like, hey, my store is struggling, I need to get this thing right-sized. Most people start with a conversion rate and they're like, hey, it's 1.5%. Is that good? And I'm like, it could be. It could be great. It could be terrible. It depends on many other things. We generally try to upfront push for that was interesting funnel metrics, like getting people through efficiently with a one-time purchase, but really it becomes like a revenue per session or revenue per visitor or average revenue per user. Some metric like that is really helpful for us because we can then start to chart progress. Because I can inflate a conversion rate really easily, just mark everything 50% off and suddenly your conversions are going to go up, but AOV tanks and revenue is just not going to be there. So we like to start to some like revenue and user-based metric to start with. And then over time, we can start to get into more of like the margin-based or lifetime value-based conversations. But we really like to, that's a higher order activity and you kind of want to get your basic needs down first and then tackle that in the, a couple quarters in. That's usually a safer time to do the more difficult things.
Yeah. And I guess when you're going through all these things that you start essentially to essentially doing a diagnosis in terms of what will work and what is not going to work for one of some of these brands, how you make sure you don't get distracted by the shiny object? Because let's be honest, there are so many things you can do. You can add this shiny thing that pops on the screen, this kind of alert, this kind of follow-up. Like there's so many things that it can be very daunting, and then sometimes you don't even know what is actually going to be beneficial for you. So how you actually can essentially be very specific with data and be intentional with where you go for. So, yeah.
That can be tough.
To
be honest, like sometimes it requires us to be a little rude and insistent. Like we basically work on like a quarterly basis for like, think of it as a quarterly sprint. And I'll just keep going back to this product view to add to cart problem I keep referencing. Like say that's where your store is struggling. Like we really try to put blinders on with the clients and be like, we are doing nothing outside of this narrow band for at least 90 days. Let's see how much from A/B testing, just do it, bug fixes. Let's see how much we can improve that. And then as we come up for air at the end of the quarter, we can then say like, okay, there's still more work to be done, or no, we've probably improved this as much as we can. Let's focus elsewhere. Something else has emerged. That's the best way we've had happen. But every time there is something that a client will come to us on, like, hey, can we do this? Ooh, I saw this tool. And we have to be a little rude, to be polite about it. Like, no, we cannot do that. That's I would be ill-advised to allow you to do that, which they don't always love, but usually in time they appreciate.
Yes, yes. So now in terms of expectations as well, I guess, especially for brands that have never implemented some of these strategies, sometimes it's difficult for them to actually create kind of a, yeah, like what should I expect out of when implement this with kind of SMS or pop or follow-up. Like people don't know what they're looking for in terms of making sure they're going the right direction. So how you also handle that with the client, like how do you make them feel, or how do even me as a client when implementing this on a D2C side, know that I'm going the right direction? Is there some, I guess, baselines that will define success, or is very kind of specific to the product as well? Yeah.
With it, it's always a little specific, but we do try to provide, like, we have baseline ranges for each of those metrics and keep referencing. So, like, if you add to cart, let's go 12 to 18%. If you're in there, you're good. If you are making progress towards that, like if it's trending in the right direction, that is a really encouraging sign. We'll also look a lot of times with like channel specific ones, where if direct users are a pretty good proxy of like, hey, if direct users over time, more of them are adding to cart, great. If it's like, you know, paid social or someone who's colder, they're struggling, that could tell us something different than if it's email or SMS, which is usually your warmest segment. If they can't convert or they're going the opposite direction, alarm bells should be ringing. So we try to provide some like macro level expectations and then get some channel specific ones. And then honestly, we're just hoping that the trend line kind of goes like that. And it's sort of compound interest as you test, as you make changes, as you, you know, find and fix bugs on a site. It should, but that's kind of comprehensively comes together, and just start to feel it after like 60 to 90 days. Like there should be a noticeable improvement in just how users are getting through the site.
Cool. I guess just a quick questions when it comes to the site, right? Because at the end of the day, let's be honest, there's many providers where we can host our site, like Shopify, Wix, etc. And I know this is something that I'm sure you get this question a lot. Like, out of curiosity, have you seen using one or the other affecting also conversion, or is really very more specific to what you do with the elements once you onboard with one of these platforms? Because this is something people ask me all the time, which one's the best one for making my website the most optimal? Like, what is your take on that? Yeah.
I'm pretty firmly in the Shopify camp. I don't think it truly, like it's rarely the tool that is the thing that will make or break you within reason. But generally, I think it's like a good site could be a good site anywhere. The reason I go to the Shopify angle is simply it out of the box, it feels the easiest and it's the hardest to kind of screw up in a lot of ways, especially once you get into the checkout process. And once you're there, it's a very familiar one. Almost everyone has bought something from the Shopify ecosystem. It's kind of like Amazon. It's familiar. People are used to it. It doesn't raise red flags. And so it's just one less thing to have to worry about in building trust with a potential customer.
Cool. And now when it comes to also the methodology that I guess people will have to take in place, especially when it comes to, let's say, starting a brand tomorrow, right? I'm making sure that they really maximize the whole funnel experience. Like we already have discussed a couple of elements that could really drive performance, and of course, how to define a benchmark, how to make sure, like, at the end of the day, we don't get distracted by, you know, shiny objects. But I'm sure there must be like a must do kind of list in terms of, you know, these are the first thing you have to do to make sure that you're heading in the right direction. So I guess, what are some of the steps you would, even to yourself, if you're going to launch a brand tomorrow, you will ensure that you conduct to get the most out of that site? What are some of those elements?
Yeah, that, God, you can go so many ways with this. The thing where I would personally start is actually not with the site. As counterintuitive as that sounds, like the UX is important because it's a, you know, way of conveying important things to the users. I would want to make sure like I have like a molecular level understanding of the market I'm going after, so that every bit of like copy, like a headline or a description or just things I could convey to you, like I know exactly what you are trying to get out of this product and what your hesitations are, like what's compelling you to act. And if I can convey that, then you as the visitor are like, crap, where has this been? I need this thing. And then like a lot of the UX, you can overcome so many suboptimal choices just yep. because of like, yes, these people get me. They know what I'm looking for. I trust them because of that. And if the, I don't know, border radius on an add to cart button is a little funky, whatever. I don't really care that much. I need this. And it just gives you a really wide margin for error. And I think that yeah. gets glossed over in a lot of really kind of commoditized spaces where like a founder or an owner may know it, but it's not communicated on the site. So having that knowledge is almost always where I would recommend starting.
Yeah, because I think sometimes people think that the issue is that they are not implementing all the tricks to convert the client or getting the most engagement out of it. But sometimes the actual offer, they're just selling another Me Too product, the same, you know, the same phone case, the same water bottle. And it's like, even if you have all the tricks on the side, it's not really going to make any magic to convert the client, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to, and I'm very curious because I'm sure you guys maybe have some recommendations, like, is there also some ways for us mm-hmm. to understand at least where we're standing as a site compared to other brands in the space? Because I know we briefly touched on defining benchmarks, but for example, in social media, no, that's a big thing. There are many tools out there that you can understand your engagement, how people engage with your posts here and there. When it comes to D2C, is there something as well that people could also explore to understand if they are very advanced, if they are very early, if they're doing everything wrong, like at least having an understanding? Like, what do you advise when it comes to that?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's one. We're still developing this one, but I think this is the first year we did it where for years we've maintained like references, benchmarks. We had some internal data sets and we could see like on a percentile basis, like, hey, this store on landing to product view, they might be in the 20th percentile. So therefore their menu might need work or a collection page is not particularly clear or whatever. And we could make some recommendations there. So we started to develop some of that and like, it's going to be an ongoing annual thing to where we could say like, hey, here's how you can find this stuff. I would love it if we could actually like you plug in your data, it spits out a percentile. Haven't gotten that fancy with it yet. But yeah, we can at least say like, hey, on the four core behaviors, like, yeah, you're in the 65th percentile on this, the 35th over here, and just give brands some clarity. So yeah, that's one that we put out this year. We're going to keep putting out and just give, as far as I know, right, the only ones that actually have anything like that. It's usually like, you can get conversion rate data, but nothing beneath that. So that's why I'm like so hyped on this stuff. It just, it's totally unique and did wonders for my LinkedIn engagement. So that was cool.
Awesome. Awesome. That's good. And I guess now that we're getting to the end of the episodes, I want to use the last couple of minutes to focus on specifically on Q4. Like, I know when it comes to Q4, most likely based on your experience and what you have seen, there are certain elements that you think must be like for sure optimized to get the most out of like Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Christmas. So what are some of the things maybe high level you think people overlook when it comes to this season that they should definitely be looking into?
Yeah, I think the biggest one that we've tested time and time again, both in and out of Black Friday and the Q4 period, is like the feels like there's an inclination that the site has to stay the same. And then you incorporate sale elements. And we just fundamentally reject that. So there's a lot of times where we will create like a promotion-specific landing page where anytime you can control the traffic from like email, SMS, ads, you're driving people to a particular page, or you're driving, you know, returning users to a particular page. Or even on the core site, you could adjust a menu and go for a real streamlined navigation menu, and you're only focusing on like your most high revenue per session categories and yep. removing the fluff and It's like just freeing yourself from the constraints of this is how our site always looks. It has to stay the same. And I just, we've done this so much that like, no, it just doesn't. And you can really, you don't have to show everything. You just need to show the important things. And it can guide people where they, where it's most advantageous for you to go, which should also be the most high converting. But that's a very real thing that I think everyone overlooks. And it's not that hard to do. Like it's, you create a second, separate menu, you swap it out in a theme. Like it's, these are things that don't take massive amounts of development resources or anything to pull off. And I mean, if anyone was like, hit me up, we have some templates we could totally share, but it just makes a huge difference in terms of like product discoverability. And then once they're there, like, okay, this is the right product. I am motivated. I'm in market. Let's go.
Awesome. Love it. So I guess to conclusion, then, like if I ask you for one advice for people to take away that you think they could implement, or maybe a prediction, like something, I guess last piece of wisdom that you want to share, like what would that be for people to have a successful Q4 and entering 2026?
Yeah, I think the most, if I could have everyone do one thing, it would just be to get back to a baseline level of how things are working. I've seen a regression of how people understand how their site operates over, like really since Universal Analytics went away and GA4 became a thing, that industry knowledge went rock bottom. Then everyone went into attribution for a while. That didn't quite play out the way they thought. And now it is just straight vibes in so many cases. And as a result, people are just burning through time and energy and inducing all this stress because they don't know how to find for themselves like how things are actually functioning. So that is one, like I know we put together plenty of resources on this from a step-by-step thing, some tools for it. And if you could, like, if I could just get everyone back to a baseline of like, I know which part of my site is the problem and it's not the whole thing, that would set you up for a much happier Q4 where you can triage in a hurry. And then on this 2026, you can actually start to say like, okay, this is where we need to focus on the on-site experience. This is doing well. This needs to be doing better. It just leads to more productive conversations when there's numbers involved.
Awesome. I love that. So, Shala, in case, you know, I think, first of all, it's been super valuable, your insights. So thank you so much. I'm sure people are going to get so much value out of that. And to conclude, in case, you know, somebody wants to reach out to you and work with you guys, tell us more about that. And then I make sure, of course, I put all down below so people can find you.
Yeah. Well, first, thanks for having me on. It's awesome. I always love evangelizing like any of this stuff. So I'm a total nerd on it. So fun to do. And yeah, for anyone listening, like hit me up. I am on LinkedIn all the time. Like we try to share stuff almost daily on there. So feel free to connect directly. The other thing, we put together some of our best resources into our CRO upgrade kit. That's a really good jumping off point. Like a lot of what I described on how to understand how your store is doing. We have some like genuine, like step-by-step, here's exactly how to do it. Videos walking through it, articles, and a couple of like Looker Studio tools that all kind of get to the same thing, but whatever works best for you, it is a great jumping off point. And I would encourage anyone who's curious to check that out. And then obviously, from there, like if it makes sense, we do a very thorough conversion audit. They get like everything we described, we go in and do that before we even do any work with the client. So it's all stuff that it can, even if it makes no sense to work together, it can be so valuable. So anyone listening, I would strongly encourage to check that out.
Awesome. So that's great, Shala. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's been a pleasure and hopefully looking forward to have you soon upcoming events. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Been a pleasure.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, man.
Bye-bye. See you.
Thanks for listening to The E-Commerce Lab by eComC. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomc.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomc.